Welcome to MLB from CDA Baseball. I'm your host, James Morris. And I know I've not been doing a podcast for a long time, but we should just get right into it because there is some very, very crazy things have happened over the past couple weeks. But first of all, I want to get into power rankings of MLB. If you are new with MLB, that means teams with the most power, I guess, and you rank them out of all the 30 teams. From first being the best, from 30th to be the worst. But first team we have, number one, is the Yankees. And I thought we were going to talk about the Yankees a little bit. But Nestor Cortez has jumped up the offense. I think he's hyped up the offense because Nestor Cortez is a pitcher. But he has earned himself as a legitimate Cy Young candidate, AL Cy Young candidate, going into 2022. He has a 1.35 ERA and another masterful outing on Sunday against the White Sox. And the Yankees are 25-39. They have the MLB best 2.74 ERA this season. And they're also tied for the most home runs in Major League Baseball as of right now. So the Yankees, they're playing excellent right now, 25-9. I believe they won 10 in a row in this during that stretch. But number two is the Los Angeles Dodgers. No surprise on that. They did lose, I believe, 7 straight. They're still 21-12. I believe they have a plus 65 run differential. So they're still a very solid team. Clayton Kershaw got hurt after being easily the best pitcher in baseball, but also the Dodgers have a very good ERA, I believe a 2.74 ERA, and they average one of the highest scoring offense in majors right now, 5.3 runs per game. So offense is there. I feel like they should be number one. I feel like the pitching is just the best for the Yankees, and their hitting's decent. But you got Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge are playing really well for the Yankees there. And Chris Taylor and Mookie Betts are finally jumping their offense for the Dodgers. Number three, the Mets. They are 23-13. Almost put off another miraculous comeback on Sunday, but ended up losing 8-7 to the Mariners. But they have been a solid team. They rank first in MLB with a .329 on base percentage and 6th in team ERA, 3.40. The pitching will be tested when Jacob DeGrom gets off the IL. Trevor McGill will be joining also. So that's a very, very good. You got Max Scherzer, Trevor McGill, Jacob DeGrom, and Chris Bassett. So very solid. And we're just going to do the top five. Number four is Astros. Very solid. They're 23-13. They won 11 in a row, but they don't have Carlos Correa anymore. They lost a couple relief pitchers, but they're still as good as they were for a long time. They've been good. I know everyone calls them the trash cans. They were really bad 4 years ago, but besides that, they've actually been really good without cheating. So their pitching's dominant. Luis Garcia had another dominant outing. They have the fifth best ERA in baseball. Their bullpen ranked second among all the clubs. And they are playing very solid lately. They have dominated teams a lot. And Astros could be, I feel like everyone has said this every year, they could be another playoff contention and World Series contenders for sure. And lastly, for me anyway, number five, the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I have not done a podcast for a long time, but Reed Detmeyer is the rookie for the Los Angeles Angels. Threw a no-hitter, youngest pitcher to throw a no-hitter. Shohei Ohtani hit his 100th career home run. Mike Trout turned a multi-homer game. He's very good. Tyler Ward crushed a grand slam. And Chase Silseth, I believe it is, threw 6 innings of one-hit ball in his MLB debut. So obviously the hitting's there, the pitching's there, and they're getting pretty good. I believe they're 24-13, so they really have a pretty decent lineup to go with there. And so that's very solid. I think as a team, as a fan, you'd want all those guys obviously. But we're going to get into the biggest news that has happened in MLB this entire month by far, in my opinion anyway. The Cincinnati Reds play the Pittsburgh Pirates on Sunday. The Reds rookie Hunter Green was pitching. Jose Quintana for the Pirates was pitching. And Hunter Green was dominant, setting a career high for strikeouts. And he pitched 7 1/3, gave up no hits, but gave up a run and ended up losing the game. So I'll tell you a little more about this. So Hunter Green was dominant. He's 7 1/3 inning, gave up no hits, 5 walks, 9 strikeouts, and they ended up taking him out after he walked back-to-back batters. Art Warren then struck out, or then walked a guy. And so there's one out, bases loaded. Art Warren, there's a ground ball right to Jairo Lopez, the second baseman. He bobbles with it. And it's a fielder's choice, and the run from third scores. So that is that. Very unfortunate for the Reds. So here is how the Pirates end up winning the game with zero hits.
Bouncing ball toward the second baseman, and they're not going to get through on this. And the Pirates are going to take the lead. Bounding ball by Key Brian Hayes. Still no hits, but a lead of 1-0.
How about that? A little bobble disrupts the timing. Would have been a hard one to turn two on anyhow. But after that little double clutch by Lopez, no chance of turning two. So,
jeez, could we have one? Last time a team lost without giving up a hit, gotta go back to June of 2008. The Angels lost against the Dodgers at
So, very unfortunate for the Reds. Hunter Green did end up striking out a lot that entire game, 9. And so we're going to take a little sneak peek on that.
Hunter Green, the number is not very impressive.
Fastball. 88 fastballs this year, over 100.
And he has picked the 1,400.
Got him.
So Hunter Green ended up striking out 9. He really did play well, but I guess it is what it is, and you can't really... You can't really decide the back future on that. But Hunter Green, this no-hitter wasn't enough for the struggling Reds. They are now 9-26. So not where they wanted to be, obviously. But, yeah. So now we're just talking about a little bit more on kind of power rankings. We're going to take, since we're talking about the Reds, we're going to talk about the NL Central, which what teams need. And I think first we're going to start with, let's start with the Brewers. So the... Go easy on Josh Hader, Brad Boxberger, and Devin Williams while you can. The first two relievers have been dominant as always, but Williams is still figuring his way back. Either way, the Brewers' offense isn't going to hit all year, and when that turns, you need every inning you can get out of these guys. So, Hader, Boxberger, and Devin Williams are easily their best relief pitchers, and they're probably even the best relief pitchers in MLB. And I feel like every single chance that they get, they're pitching those pitchers, and we're not even a quarter way through MLB. So, they're saying just take it easy on those guys. Devin Williams, you know, he got hurt last year. He's not who he was, but just take it easy and make sure they don't hurt their arms going into the season. Cardinals, consider giving Tyler O'Neill the Paul DeJong treatment. So, Tyler O'Neill's been in somewhat of a slump, but he's definitely a potential MVP candidate this year. MVP candidate. He had a .912 OPS last year. It's down to .561 this season. The Cardinals have Juan Yepes, I think his name, to fill in his spot, but O'Neill needs to feel like a crusher again. A month in AAA Memphis might do the trick. But he was a star in a 17-game win streak last year, and they will need that O'Neill to be in September again. So what they're saying there, and this is from MLB.com, but here's my opinion on that. I think Tyler O'Neill is an amazing player. I think we all know that. But if you're in a slump, what do you do about that? Do you just kind of, I guess, what do you do when you're in a slump? Do you just kind of let it go? Or do you really try to work better, work harder, and try to figure out what you're doing wrong? Looks like Tyler O'Neill isn't really trying to do that. I feel like he's gradually getting worse, actually, as the season goes. And I feel like that should be a big, that's what he should work on. But we all know Tyler O'Neill has the stuff, and Paul DeJong is probably not going to play too much longer. Edmundo Sousa is playing very, very excellent. And now, Cubs, move on from this Frank Schwindel experiment. Schwindel was a funny story last year with 2.52 OBP and 2 homers pace so far, but the Cubs don't have much use for the 30-year-old at first base. Put Alfonso Rivas out there every day for now and see what you can get out of him. Frank Schwindel, he's only batting .212 this year. He only has 2 home runs. His OBP is low. I know Frankson Bill's like kind of an older guy, 30 years old, obviously, and then Alfonso Rivas is the younger side. But I like Schwindel. I think Rivas can handle the job a little well, but maybe DH Schwindel because he can hit. He had two hits yesterday, I believe it was. And so that's not really anything to move on from, but I don't know. Pirates, start shopping for Jose Quintana. This is Jose Quintana with the 2.19 ERA, and the Cubs thought they were getting the Cubs thought they were getting when they traded Jairo Jimenez for him in 2017, but it's not going to get any better than this, and the Pirates don't need him for anything than trade bait. Start calling up those AOS teams and quickly. Jose Quintana for the Pittsburgh Pirates has been phenomenal. 2.19 ERA, only has two wins, but wins don't mean anything, especially with that no-hitter and he got the loss. But Jose Quintana, very, very solid, and he's definitely the ace for the Pirates heading into this season, and you could easily use him as trade bait. You could probably even use the Astros. I think the Astros would be interested in him. They don't have much decent lefties. Well, Framber Valdez might be a lefty, but I think any team would take Jose Quintana. I feel like the Yankees might be interested in him as well, but they kind of. I think the Yankees pitching is going to slowly slow down because they're very old pitching for the most part. Cincinnati Reds, don't ever let Hunter Green throw so many pitches again. I disagree, but we all loved watching him throwing 7-plus innings of a no-hitter as much as anyone here. But the Reds fans' greatest hope for the future is Green bearing the ace for a long time to come, right? Let's not take that from them, okay? So Hunter Green can easily throw out his arm. He actually had Tommy John surgery earlier in his year, and it's probably because he was throwing so much. So don't let him throw that much pitches. I don't know if I totally agree with that because but Hunter Green's very, very solid. He will be amazing. I know he's 1-7 with like a 6.51 ERA, but his first two starts were pretty much scoreless, and his last start was a no-hitter. So he's a good pitcher. He just needs to throw a little more off-speed pitches, and he'll be fine. His slider's getting a lot better. His changeup's getting better. And when you throw that fastball every now and then, you can hit 100 miles an hour with Green easy, and you can blow by hitters. So just Hunter Green's very solid. But now let's get into Shohei Ohtani's two-run blast here yesterday.
Oh, that one is hammered, and you can forget about that one. He's done it again. Wow! That is crushed. A two-run job for Ohtani. 2-0 Angels.
So Ohtani is dominating baseball once again. His pitching is amazing. His hitting's MVP. His hitting, for crying out loud, is even if he wasn't a pitcher, he probably could win MVP with just that hitting. And if he wasn't a hitter, he could probably win Cy Young with that kind of pitching. So and he's both. He can pitch and he can hit. So he's probably not from Earth. He's probably more from like Mars or something. But he is dominating MLB probably more than any other player ever has. And Carlos Correa is going to be back from the IL tomorrow. He's only had 94 at-bats. He's batting .255, two home runs, 11 RBIs. I just want to say that because I know you Twins fans are super excited, and you guys will see him very soon. Now, lastly, I think we need to get this into a habit. We're going to talk about the standing leaders for each team. We're going to try to make this quick, but the National League AL East, the Brewers are heading, being first, with 23-13, 23 wins, 13 losses, a plus 29 run differential. They have won two in a row, and they are playing very good. Their hitting, as always, is not being very good, but their pitching, as always, has been very, very solid. And the Brewers could be, a playoff contenders. I don't think World Series contenders, but definitely a decent team. You lost Avisil Garcia, but you gain Hunter Renfroe. We'll see how they go. I pick Cardinals being in first place. They're only three games behind first place. They have a high run differential as well, but we'll see. First in the NL East, the New York Mets having 23 wins, they used to have the best record in baseball, not anymore. They have a plus 35 run differential. When Jacob DeGrom comes back, which will be a while, he's hurt again, yes. He will help them a lot. Max Scherzer's playing well. Starling Marte's playing well. Mark Canhall was playing very, very well. The Mets hitting just very good. I believe they would play sixth, I believe, or third. I don't remember, actually, but in power rankings. Mets are a team to watch out for. They would definitely go in the playoffs, depends how far, but the Phillies are not far from getting in first place. Yes, they are 5.5 games out, but they have a very, very good lineup. NL West. What a surprise. The Dodgers. The Padres were, but this is a very, very good NL East, or West, just like last year. Dodgers, Padres, Giants, Diamondbacks, Rockies. So every single team there is pretty much, all those teams are either above 500. The Colorado Rockies are 486, barely below 500, but all those teams are very good. The Dodgers actually lost 7 in a row earlier and still have a plus 71 run differential. So the Dodgers hitting, I think we talked about this a little earlier, but one of the best pitching baseball, the best hitting in baseball. So we'll see what we'll see from the Dodgers. I have them in the White Sox being in the World Series, but a little too early to tell, I guess. Now in the American League East, the best record in baseball, the AL East leading Yankees 26-9 with a plus 73 ERA. And what I think is kind of funny about this division is you got the Yankees in first place by 5.5 games, and they have plus 73 ERA. The teams who are in second are the Rays. They're 21-15, so that's a good record, but they have negative 2 ERA. Toronto's in third with a negative 11 ERA. Boston's in fourth with a negative 9 ERA. And, wow, I can't believe it. The Orioles are in last, and they have a negative 35 ERA. But first place team is the only team with a plus run differential. Yankees are going to be good. I don't think they're going to be World Series contenders ever again, but you never know. And now the AL Central, the Minnesota Twins, they're in first. Yeah, they are. They are they're actually playing well. Could they make the playoffs this time? I don't know. But they are very solid. Jose Berrios, I believe his name is playing well. Mitch Garver is playing well. Carlos Correa is back from the IL, so maybe he'll jump up that offense even more. So, Twins playing well, especially with their pitching is getting a lot better now. The AL West, the Astros in first place, 23 wins, 13 losses, but they're tied in first place with the Angels, having 24 wins and 14 losses. Plus 54 run differential for the Angels, plus 37 for the Astros. Both those teams are overachieving slightly. Angels are overachieving, I don't know, maybe not quite overachieving for the Angels because the Angels have Mike Trout now and Ohtani and Rendon and Marsh. So a lot of decent players for the Angels. Astros lost Correa, still have Valdez, still have Gurriel, still have Tucker, still have Jordan Alvarez. So that's solid, but that's that. We're going to talk about now statistics. We're going to talk about the guys who are in first in average, home runs, RBIs, and stolen base. Then we're going to go to pitching. For ERA, wins, and strikeouts, and saves. So first and average for MLB, he plays with the Padres. He's a third baseman. I'll give you 5 seconds to answer it. 5, 4, 3, 2. Manny Machado is first, batting .359, and right behind him is Eric Hosmer, and not too far down is a couple other Padres players, but they're actually pretty far down. Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, MLB's best right now for average. So watch out for them. Machado could have very easily be an MVP winner this year. It's like he never gets old. He always plays well, but also he is pretty big hated MLB guy in MLB. But Manny Machado, watch out for him, batting .359. Home run leader, Aaron Judge. I thought we were done with Judge. I thought he only had a good first 2 years, but no, he has 12 home runs in MLB, right barely in front of Jordan Alvarez and Brian Buxton. But 12 home runs for Judge, Rizzo and Stanton not far behind, and the Yankees have some power hitters. That's all I got to say. You got Rizzo, who's hit, 10? Stanton's hit 10, Judge hits 12, someone else has hit 8 and 9, and yeah. Now, RBIs, Jose Ramirez in first place with 33. Ramirez could also be an MVP candidate this year, and the Indians will need his help heading into this year. Stolen bases is tied with Julio Rodriguez and Jorge Mateo for the Orioles, and those guys are fast. Julio Rodriguez could win Rookie of the Year this year very easily. But it's probably going to be more like Bobby Wood Jr. or Hunter Green even. First in the ERA, Pablo Lopez for the Marlins. 1.03 ERA. That surprised me a lot. He is very, very good right now for the Marlins. 1.05 ERA. So watch out for Pablo Lopez, and he will be very good. Number one wins, tied, actually, Justin Verlander and Logan Webb for the Giants. That Verlander coming from Tommy John surgery will not be good, but he proved all of us wrong, and he's playing very, very well this year, and I don't think it matters how old he gets. He's probably going to turn 60 next year, and he's probably going to win Cy Young. But now number one for strikeouts, Dylan Cease and Ryan McClanahan, I believe you want to say, I think that's how you say his name for the Rays and the White Sox. Cease is always going to have an year. He's probably going to have like a 4.5 ERA, but he's probably going to strike out a decent amount. And McClanahan, I really like that guy for the Rays. I think he'll be really solid for a long time. And I would keep on him, Rays. Number one in saves, Josh Hader with 14. We can just go right past him because we all know he's going to be first in saves this entire year. But thank you for listening to MLB from CDA Baseball. I'm going to try to do a podcast with someone here eventually. Sorry for not doing it for a long time, but please share this and take more listens, and adios.